The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
More great fishing everywhere in Bristol Bay as the total run closes in on 30 million sockeye. Boats are heading east, banking on a Quijack River about to blow. But the Nooshinak is still not slowing down. It's Saturday, July 8th. I'm Dave Benninger. Glad to be on board with you today. Coming up, one Naknek Quijack drifter weighs in from the east side.
I always like to think that this is kind of the lull before the push for this part of the bay. Seems like it might quiet down a bit before we get a good pop. But it's just been a day-by-day, hour-by-hour reality TV show here like it is every year.
Plus, some longtime Nooshinak sports fishermen offer opinion on waiting for kings upriver and whether something shouldn't be managed differently. And a new small buyer working out of Ekuk tells us about their operation.
We're taking delivery right into rigid totes with an ice brine and holding the fish at temperature and bringing them into the plant, getting them processed within 12 hours. That's giving us a product here that is fresher than anything else being produced.
That's all ahead on the weekend edition of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Programming on KDLG is brought to you by Matrix Marine Incorporated, providing on-site diesel repair services and Volvo Penta support in Bristol Bay, with shops in Naknek at 246-3406 and in Dillingham in the PAF yard at 842-3646.
Catch this show nightly at 6:10 and 2 a.m., early on the weekends, and online at kdlg.org. Shoot us an email and let us know what you think. Fish at kdlg.org or 907-842-5288. Feel free to leave a voicemail if we don't pick up. Well, the internet went down at the King Salmon Fishing Game Office today, complicating the relay of data out to the wider world. But we have the daily summary of the run for you here on this show. Starting with yesterday's catch across all five districts, 2.17 million was the total. That brings the season total harvest to 18.1 million sockeye. Cumulative escapement across all rivers, 1.12 million fish. Season total escapement is 10.3 million. In-river estimate of 450,000 fish from the Ugashik, Igigik, and Quijack rivers combined. That has put the total run through Friday night midnight at 29,029,000 fish out of a preseason forecast of 41.5 million. Let's break that down by district as we always do. Ugashik, another good day there, posting 414,000 sockeye caught Friday. Season total now, 1.12 million. Escapement to the Ugashik River, finally some fish showing up, 145,000 counted past the tower Friday. Cumulative escapement, 285,000 fish. Paul Solomon has an in-river estimate of 200,000. Total run to Ugashik District now at 1,600,000 fish. Igigik Fleet had another good day, 617,000 sockeye counted as harvest Friday. Season total to the Igigik, harvest in Igigik, 6.3 million. Igigik River escapement was 131,000 fish. Total escapement is 2.15 million. That's just over the top end of the goal. In river estimate of 150,000, and the total run is now 8.6 million to Igigik. Naknek Quijack, a fisherman hauling in 540,000 sockeye on Friday, pushing the season total to 2.6 million. Escapement counts for the Naknek Quijack District, starting with the Naknek River, 145,000 Friday, total of 1,082,000 fish on the season. Quijack River seeing an uptick, 293,000 counted Friday, season total of 1.12 million, in-river estimate of 100,000. Alagnak River Tower counted 37,100 Friday, season total 732,000 on the Alagnak. No in-river estimate for that river today. Total district run to Naknek Quijack is now pushed up to 5.7 million out of a preseason forecast of 16 million fish. Nooshigak District, still no sign of really slowing down here. 578,000 sockeye counted as harvest Friday in the district. That has put the season total catch now to 8 million fish. We're going to let Tim Sands read down the counts.
Sockeye salmon escapements are as follows. Wood River, 257,000 yesterday, total 2.6 million through 6 a.m. Nooshigak River, 69,600 yesterday, for a total of 2.23 million through midnight. Igusik River, 229,000 through 6 a.m. The Nooshigak King Salmon Escapement was 2,215 yesterday for a cumulative of 53,270.
Courtesy of his 12 noon announcement, he was just too excited not to include in today's program here. Excited or imbibed, we do not profess to know. That's put the total Nooshigak District run now to 12.98 million fish, 12,980,000, as it inches its way to perhaps an all-time record. Set back in 2006, you'll recall we discussed on last night's program that was more than 15 million fish. And the Togiak fleet hauling in 21,600 sockeye Friday, season total there 136,280. Togiak Tower counted 2,600 sockeye, season total counts on the river 10,800. District total run to Togiak, 147,086 sockeye, out of a preseason forecast of 660,000. Again, your bay-wide catch yesterday was 2.17 million fish. Season total harvest is 18.2, and the total run is just over 29 million fish through midnight Friday. Breaking down the average drift delivery size for sockeye yesterday, Ugashik back on top of the board there, 1,556. Nooshigak, 1,171. Igigik, 1,043. Naknek-Quijak, 630 fish. Togiak, 186. Looking briefly at the allocations here, Ugashik, total harvest this season, 89.4% drift. Ugashik set, 10.6. Igigik drift accounting for 86.1% of the harvest. Igigik set netters, 13.9. In the Naknek-Quijak, drifters accounting for 67.9% of the harvest. Naknek set, 20.2. Quijak set, 11.9. In the Nooshigak, drifters accounting for 79.7% of the harvest. Nooshigak set netters 16.2, Igusik set netters 2.9, unspecified 1.2%, and Togiak is listed as 100% unspecified. Again, a short note of the Nooshigak king count yesterday was 2,215 fish past the sonar. Total is now 53,270, closing in on the bottom end of the escaping goal range of 55,000. That was after a day of 4,500 and a day prior of 2,200 kings past the Portage Creek sonar. Port Muller fished yesterday. The tally was sent out very late last night. Another modest day of fishing there with 62 sockeye in the 4.5 and 47 in the 5 and an 8th. Total mean daily catch index of 45. Broken down by station, that was 10 fish at station 2, 0 at station 4, 18 at station 6, 61 at station 8, 16 at station 10, 4 at station 12, and they did fish station 14 and picked up a further 35 fish. An email to Dr. Scott Rayborn today with the following questions. What's the last day for the boat to fish? What does the interpolated value mean for Thursday's not fishing? And is the Pandalus back out at it today? Was responded to this way. Probably July 12th will be the last day to fish. The interpolated values are estimated with the statistical model based on the catch pattern through space and time. And yes, he says they're out fishing today. Permit and vessel registrations. Slipped past us here for a second. Sorry about that. Ugashik District is building. Currently today, 252 permits registered as of 12.05 p.m., climbing to 298 after the wait period. vessels, 186 registered, climbing to 225. 66 are D-boats, 73 will be D-boats in 48 hours. Igigik District is 434 permits, no changes indicated today. That's on 328 boats, 106 doubled up. Naknek-Quijack building as well, 495 permits registered today, climbing to 547 in 48 hours. That's on 414 boats, climbing to 460, 81 D-boats today. Nooshigak District almost down under 400. 401 permits now registered to fish as of 12 noon. No changes indicated to fish and game after that. That's on 311 boats, 90 D-boats. And Togiak, 42-42. No changes indicated. Total bay-wide permits registered to fish today, 1,624, climbing to 1,722 in 48 hours. That's on 1,281 vessels, climbing to 1,366. And as of today, there are 343 D-boats out on the waters. Briefly, area M-catch from yesterday, from the area from Bear River to the Outer Port Hyden sections, landing 118,000 sockeye, pushing their season total in those sections to 1.7 million fish. Nelson Lagoon fished yesterday, bringing in 16,400 sockeye, season total there 139,000. Total area M catch yesterday, 206,000 sockeye, season total for all area M fisheries, 3.9 million sockeye so far this season. That's your Daily Run Summary. We're very glad to have you tuned in on the weekend show. Back in just a moment.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
All eyes are on the Quijack River again this year, which is yet to see most of its 8 million sockeye forecast run appear. That fleet has learned how to wait and fish late. Among them is Lang Solberg on the OD2, who we caught up with just an hour or so prior to today's opener.
Yeah, we're headed out the mouth of the river here and looking for some fish. Looks like some of the folks that are diehard South Line folks came up to spend the night or maybe get some fuel and get a shower with the little closure we had. But now we're going at it again, and looks like the schedule's changed a bit. We're onto a 6 or 7 hour period now, I think, and another standby at 3 o'clock. So it'll be interesting to see whether we go to the more like 6 to 8 hour 2 day schedule, or if we stick to this 18 hour sort of thing we've been on here the last few days.
Pretty dynamic changes that Travis is putting in place here. And I think that's all a kind of the Quijack escapement numbers that he's watching real close. What do you get a sense of the district so far?
Well, it's like every year, it's really interesting to watch unfold, like you say. There was some good fishing opportunity over on the Quijack a couple days ago. It was fun to get over there for a couple of tides and get some time in. And the last 24 hours is been another hand of cards back on the east side. There are some pockets of fish around, but I don't think the volume was necessarily consistent throughout the district. And I always like to think that this was kind of the lull before the push for this part of the bay. Seems like usually around this date in July, it might quiet down a bit before we get a good pop. But it's just been a day-by-day, hour-by-hour reality TV show here like it is every year. So,
what do you think about the Nooshigak fleet this season so far? What are the Naknek drifters talking about with these West Side guys?
Well, on this boat, I don't know what all the Naknek drifters are saying. I can't speak for everybody, but on this boat, we're pretty happy for the West Side fleet. We talk a lot about our friends over there that have obviously had a fantastic season, and we're maybe kind of kicking ourselves for not taking a trip over there and checking it out earlier on. But you know, it just raises a lot of questions. In one sense, we're really happy for the Nooshkak folks. On the other hand, we're asking ourselves, well, what does this mean for this district? And it's just so different this year. It's really interesting to ponder, and I continue to wonder if, looking at the genetics kind of creeping back up again for Kwijak, Alegnak, Naknek, I can't help but wonder if there might be something similar that still has yet to occur here. But those are just questions to ponder while we try to, you know, do business and put in a good season here. So,
well, certainly other people are pondering those same questions, and we're seeing boats and permits leave Nooshkak and head east. So people are I think banking on that Kwijak building here shortly. Have you any concern that it won't produce what basically it's forecast to do here, but maybe just a little late?
I don't have any concern about that. I think that the management changes that have taken place over the past 5 years, especially with respect to the Kwijak, those sorts of moves by Travis and changes in the dynamic on Kwijak escapement give me pretty good confidence in the Kwijak continuing to produce well and escape well. Sometimes I wonder about the Naknek. You know, yesterday was the last couple of days, I think, escapement has trickled off a bit, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not concerned at all, and look forward to, you know, finishing out another couple of weeks here. So,
one more thing I'd like to get your reaction on. It seems like the exceptionally good fishing that Nooshkak and Igigik have had so far this season has clogged everybody up around the bay. Any comment on that, or any hard feelings for, you know, the fleets plugging up the buyers before your guys' season really takes off here?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. I understand on one hand. On the other hand, it hurts. It hurts a little bit, especially the timing was pretty touchy there with some suspensions and limits up in this neck of the woods right when the West Side opened. But it looks like, at least for my market and a few others, you know, while some limits still exist, it seems like folks are catching up. But it's, for me, it's a timing issue. It's tough timing to come to grips with. But the run showing up at the point it is here, and the other districts doing what they're doing, I can't speak for the buyers, but hopefully we can stay wide open here and continue forward. So.
Yeah. Hope that, too, for everybody over there. And, Len, good to catch up with you today. Hope it's a good opener this afternoon, and we'll keep in touch and get some reaction. I guess you guys will kind of round out the tail of the season. Most of the action and activity will probably be there, although these genetics show some Nooshkak fish still coming. I'm not sure why people are necessarily leaving this district, but should be an interesting tail end of the season.
I saw that yesterday, and it's like I said, this is the best part about the bay. It's so fun to watch unfold. And again, we're really happy for the Nooshkak fleet from this boat here. So.
Lang Solberg, thanks for weighing in. We'd like to hear from you as well, 907-842-5281. You can shoot us a text message if you have our number, or email fish@kdlg.org. Continuing today's show, the Nooshkak River, as you know, is having a near-record return of sockeye. Normally, it's more famous for the strength of its King Run, where many other Alaskan rivers have struggled. This year, though, the King Run has struggled, or at least is running late, to the frustration of the anglers who lined the river's banks in June and July. Some sport fish operators say they would like to see some changes in the commercial sockeye fishery downstream to help to protect the King's upriver. KDLG's Allison Mullenkamp has more.
There is no formal forecast issued for Nooshkak Kings anymore, but going into the season, state biologists felt it would be another good year. but the season got off to an achingly slow start just as anglers showed up to fish the famous waters. On June 21st, sport fishing guide Chris Carr lent voice to how few kings had gotten upstream thus far.
2 days ago, we set the net, let it sit overnight, and that was a mistake. It took my daughter and all, everything we had to pull that thing up. So we took another nice brand new net, set it on this morning's side, let it sit for 6 hours, and same thing, not one fish, and every web covered in the green algae.
The kings trickled in, but not on an escapement curve that suggested it would make its 95,000 in-river goal. Early on, the numbers of kings counted at the Portage Creek sonar site showed something was off. Alaska Sportsman's Lodge King Camp manager Jeff Fender says his repeat clients could tell, too.
Like I said, too, it's our clients that have been here that know that, and it's a slow day when you're out there watching the tip of the rod, and you're knowing, God, normally I can catch 20 a day, and I'm struggling to get my 4 or 5 out of the day, and I know that the client is sitting there thinking the same thing, too. So
anglers know that fishing is fishing, and there are few guarantees when booking any trip tied to Alaska salmon. However, Fender, who has 23 years' experience with this river, has been frustrated by what he sees as a chance to place a greater priority on protecting kings.
The biologists that manage this area, I know they have mandates and management plans in place, and it's upsetting that they won't take the initiative, even though those mandates are there, to see how hard the kings are being hit this year.
The upriver anglers are about the last in line to get a chance at the kings, after the commercial sockeye fishermen net up tens of thousands and subsistence fishing around Dillingham harvests around 12,000. This frustrates the clients of Bob Toman, the founder of Toman's King Camp on the Nooshiegak.
It's the last one to get the fish. The first ones are caught out in the ocean by, you know, like salmon, by trollers and stuff. And then they get closer and the gill netters get them. And then the sports guy. So if any of those over harvest, then there's not enough left for us to, and then for the fishing game to meet their quotas for the particular river.
Jeff Fender said repeatedly that he doesn't see this as an issue of sport versus commercial, which breeds some of the ugliest fish politics from other Alaska fisheries. However, he does hope that perhaps the commercial fleet could pause to help out the king numbers.
You know, I'd like to see at least every other tide be unnetted and allowed to come in the river. It may only take 1 or 2 days to jump us above our minimum escapement goals on kings.
But while the kings have lagged, the Nooshiegak sockeye are returning in some of the highest numbers ever recorded. Pausing the commercial fishing downstream would only allow more over-escapement, something area management biologist Tim Sands doesn't see as an option.
Our system's so dynamic. We have these huge masses of sockeye coming in. Taking a tide off is catastrophic, potentially.
The Nooshiegak-Mulchatna King Salmon Management Plan governs decisions on the sport, subsistence, and commercial fishing of this species. Former ADF&G sport fish biologist Dan Dunaway helped draft those rules, which he believes have largely been successful.
There's been a lot of dissatisfaction expressed by some sport folks over the way the plan worked out, but it's what was politically viable at the time in front of the Board of Fish and with the local users of all groups.
Dunaway added that he would be interested to see parts of the plan reviewed.
It would be interesting to gather up the available data to look at sport harvest, sport impact. Also possibly, I seem to recall that there's been a potential for a growth in the subsistence harvest, especially the subsistence impact in the Dillingham locale. And this is something else that could get kind of tricky. Upriver villages, I would say, are truly a lot more dependent on that king run.
The king run continues to build slowly, creeping towards the lower end of its goal. It's possible they're just running late this year, perhaps due to the low water or lack of windy days that normally push fish. If the run comes in on size, likely most concerns will be calmed. But if the numbers stay low, proposals may emerge to change the management plan. For KDLG, I'm Allison Mollenkamp.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible by generous support from Bristol Bay Native Corporation, following a Fish First policy to sustain and promote the economic and cultural value of wild Alaska salmon in the Bristol Bay watershed.
About the time the Bay's big buyers start plugging up, one would have to be deaf to not hear the calls for cash buyers or foreign processors. There are quite a few small processors scattered around Bristol Bay trying different ways to buy and sell the catch. I spoke with the plant operator of one such outfit operating out of Ekuk. They're processing a couple 10,000 pounds a day and have been advancing a price of 85 cents a pound.
This Andy Straley, and I'm the manager of the plant here for Jerry Ball, Alaska Best Seafoods here in Ekuk.
Before we get to how you're doing this season, what's the history of Alaska Best Seafoods in Ekuk? There was a buyer there last year, sort of, but as I understand, this is a totally different thing that's happening right now.
Last year, the plant was completely still under construction. They did have a licensed area in the plant for processing, and they hand-processed about 10,000 pounds of fillets. The rest of the poundage that they bought was processed at the Ekuk fisheries facility for them.
So this year is a new model and sounds like more volume. Can you sort of give me the broad brushstroke of what your operation looks like?
Well, right now we've got three tenders, all landing craft with totes out buying. We have to be careful, you know, our capacity right now. I don't want to buy more than about 70,000 pounds a day. So we're having to be careful on that. But we're getting more than enough super high-quality fish in that it doesn't seem to be an issue this year.
Let's talk about that quality. I know that that's very important to the operation that you're running there. Of course, it's important to everybody, but I think you're being extra meticulous. Can you describe the standards of the fish you're buying from and how they're transported into the facility there?
Well, every night on the high tide, my tenders come in and clean off. The big difference there is, you know, the other companies, I've tendered all over Alaska. You know, all over Alaska, you hold fish in manky water for 3 to 4 days, and then you go to the plant. Sometimes you pump off your tender onto another tender, and then they'll send it to King Cove or send it wherever, you know, and it's all utility-grade canned salmon at that point. We're not doing that. We're taking delivery right into rigid totes with an ice brine. And holding the fish at temperature and bringing them into the plant, getting them processed within 12 hours. That's giving us a product here that is fresher than anything else being produced.
That means there's a brailer bag coming onto the tender, fish are going into a tote, and the tote is getting forklifted off at the plant?
Yeah, we have cranes and forklifts. And then we put them on a flatbed truck and drive them from the cannery dock here down the road to the plant there, right off the Ball Brothers runway.
From there, what are you producing and where is it heading out to this year?
Our market is a domestic market. Our fish, both what we're flying out of here fresh, number one sockeye, H&G, and our frozen product are all going domestic this year.
You have a good workforce. I know that's been quite an issue bay-wide here this summer is the labor.
Yeah, anyone that knows me can hear it in my voice, okay? I've been working 20-hour days. We are, we're a little bit short-handed, like everyone else. However, being a smaller facility, it's easier to mitigate the short-handedness.
What's the plan for Alaska Best Seafoods to wrap up 2017? How long will you stay open? Are you looking at buying silvers and the occasional pink?
We have a market this year. It's not a pink year, but we've already, you know, had, you know, maybe 100 pinks through the plant. So there will be some, but there's a real demand. What I would like to, we're going to try and stay open until September 15th. Once the cannery closes here, we'll take fish primarily off the beach and just from a few drift boats, local guys that have been selling fish.
Andy Straley is running operations at Alaska Best Seafoods, speaking to us from Ekuk Beach. Andy, we hope you guys have a good rest of the season. Sounds like you'll be there for quite some time. Thanks for the update.
Yeah, hopefully we have a safe season. I think everyone needs to take a pause and check themselves. Thinking for both dinner nights unacceptable. Hopefully we have a good, safe fall season.
I sit here alone on the banks of the river.
Well, we are out of time for any more today. We do have one letter here, not out to anybody, but in to us. This comes to us from Doug Dorman. He says, Hi, Dave. I was stationed at King Salmon back in 1984 and 85, and I had the honor of color guard duty and flag raising for the Bristol Bay Fish Festival back in 85. Just wondered if the festival is still alive and well, and what are the dates for the festival this year? I am now a retired disabled veteran and would love to bring my wife to the area to show her where I once lived, the beauty of Alaska. I enjoy listening. Keep doing what you do. Doug, thanks for that note. We checked on it there. Fishtival is scheduled for July 20th through the 23rd in Naknek. Should be a great time. If you'd like to get in touch with us or send messages out to the fleet, fish@kdlg.org. Your marine weather forecast today, small craft advisory in effect. Expected winds of 25 knots out of the southeast, seas 3, building to 5 this afternoon. Tonight, southeast 25, seas 5. Tomorrow, southeast 25 knots, seas 5. And Sunday night, southeast 20, seas 4. Calms down again Monday. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef today, small craft advisory with southeast winds up to 30 knots, seas 6. Tonight, southeast 25, seas 5. Tomorrow, south 20, seas 5. And tomorrow night, out of the southwest, 15, seas 4 feet. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is dedicated to covering the greatest sockeye salmon fishery on earth. This program is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters, listeners, and you, the fishing fleet. With the help from the rest of the KDLG team, I'm Dave Benninger. Good night, good fishing. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This is KDLG Dillingham.